Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I greet you in that name which is above every name. Oh, beloved, what great privilege it is to be called the children of God, that even though we have never met, even though we know that God is bringing together a people out of every tribe, people, kindred, and tongue, we have a family that stretches across all cultures, across every nation. And what a glorious time that's going to be when this present family is joined with all of those who have gone before to be with the Lord. Oh, beloved, if you contemplate, if you think about such things, I mean, it's overwhelming. Can you imagine the joy, the stories, the rejoicing? Oh, my goodness. You know, that's the Word tells us, you know, we with much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. There are trials. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." But we must never give the impression that serving the Lord is going to be easy. There are those who are willing to do just minimal. They believe and in Jesus as their Savior, but they're not willing to go much further beyond that. And God is looking for those who will serve them with a whole heart. The Word talks about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold Christians. And we, by our choices, make a determination where we're going to stand. How much are we going to do? What will we sacrifice? And by that, would we sacrifice our bodies as a living sacrifice before Him? Are we willing to be disciplined by the Word of God to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of things that are not pleasing to the Lord? Are we willing to respond in obedience? Or will we harden our neck? Will we just be concerned about saving our own life? Well, we may end up with salvation, but all the rewards, all the blessings, all the joys that we could have known in following hard after Jesus, we will one day, I believe, regret very much as we stand before the Lord. However, beloved, while we have breath in our body, it doesn't matter what our circumstances are, how old you are, what condition of health you are in, with your heart, you can serve God with everything in you and believe God for the fulfillment of His promises in your life. He wants us to prosper and be in health first and foremost, above all things, that our soul, our inner man prosper, that we are doing the things that please the Lord. We're conforming our will to His will. Jesus is our example, and beloved, this is the high calling to which we are called. And I'm on this broadcast not only to preach the message of salvation, but to exhort believers, those who have accepted Jesus, to rise to that high calling, that we are to be perfect even as Jesus is. That's why He has given fivefold ministry, until we all attain the stature of the maturity of Christ Jesus, and that, you know, we will be like Him, for when He comes, we will see Him as He is. That's an amazing passage of Scripture. We certainly can't do this in ourselves or with discipline or with our efforts, but as we surrender, that's the secret. The Holy Spirit, by His power, will accomplish in us what we cannot do ourselves. He working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I want to talk about the restored generation of beloved. With all my heart, I believe we are the generation that is going to experience the restoration of the Lord. Decades ago, Brother Glass preached that. Many powerful preachers, prophetic voices down through the ages have spoken of a generation that shall know their God and be strong and do exploits. And beloved, we have seen prophetically literal things like the restoration of Israel, the establishment of it as a nation after, 2,000 years. They were a people culturally, but they had no land. No other nation has existed like that. I mean, the Jews are truly a phenomenon, but God said he would do this. He's fulfilled that word. And so, beloved, we are seeing prophecy being fulfilled, and I want to talk about one element of that restoration, the fulfillment of that prophecy that relates to all of us. We are seeing Israel in the natural. Beloved, in the 19th century, people who visited Israel, it was a barren wasteland. Who would even desire to want to live there? But God began to move by the Spirit of God upon his people. And as it says in the Word of God, Isaiah, the desert shall blossom as a rose. Through the technology and understanding God has given them, they have refined irrigation, so places that were just desert and wasteland, there is crops growing. This is a physical, tangible realization in this real world of God's prophetic word. So, for you and I, beloved, you may be Jewish and believe in Jesus as your Messiah, or you may be Gentile in terms of your birth and background. He has made all. There's no division between us. He's reconciled the Jew and the Gentile. We are all one in Christ Jesus, that new man that the New Testament scriptures speak of. But there's a particular several verses I want to share with you, which is the basis of the restoration that God is planning for his church. You remember, before I share that, remember the book of Haggai? That book has always intrigued me, and I preached on it. I've preached on it numbers of times, but a while ago I did preach regarding Haggai and the lessons that God had revealed to me and the revelation and the understanding. But basically, God's people were returned to Jerusalem. God had wrought a miracle, and they had opposition. They had laid the foundation of the temple, but then they just stopped because of the battles, because of the trials. And that was the purpose of the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, to encourage them to begin to work on the house of the Lord. And God is calling us to do that today. That same message is being sent from the throne of God, that we are to build the house of the Lord. We don't do it with mortar, with timber. We do it with lively stones, because that's the temple that God is building today. A tabernacle that is not visible, but in the spirit. It's a tabernacle for the dwelling of the invisible God. He is going to fill that house with his spirit. And it says that regardless of how glorious the church was in the first, when it was first birthed, the signs, wonders, and miracles, God is going to fill, as he spoke through the prophet Haggai, that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. And so, beloved, we have heard through prophetic voices over the years, over the decades, from many, many who are now with the Lord, that there is going to be a great final harvest. That would make sense, because God is a God of mercy. His long suffering and his patience has endured the sin and the corruption that is in the world. Remember, at one time mankind was so corrupt, he destroyed it all with a flood. And only Noah, who was perfect in his generations, had not been corrupted, even in terms of the physical seed to bring forth the Messiah, had not been corrupted. That God spared him. He began again. He promised he would never again destroy the world by flood. But beloved, we're living in a time when he is restoring, because his plan, he's restoring man, our understanding of who we are in him. He has called us to be kings and priests. Those aren't my words. That is what Jesus said to the Apostle John. He said, give that to the churches. I am restoring all things to Jesus, who's washed us from his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto our God. This is the role of a priest, ministers of the things of God, and kings, they rule and reign the affairs of men. So when Jesus comes back, we will be ruling and reigning with him. We don't know the details of our job assignments, but that doesn't make any difference right now. We are still to do, follow the Great Commission. Those were the marching orders he commanded. Go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these signs shall follow them that believe, as it says in the closing chapter of Mark. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall, if they should drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They should take up serpents and scorpions. No, not living snakes, but there's that speaking to spiritual warfare, demonic entities. We have power over them, and we shall see the same miracles wrought that Jesus, that was the heart of God. He wants to see people delivered. He wants people to be healed. The same power of God that was manifested in the early church is going to be manifested in an even greater extent, I believe, in this restored generation. And Jesus is the restorer. And there's a passage I want to share in Acts, the third chapter. I will read it in its entirety, but Acts 21 states, whom heaven must receive, this is referring Jesus, until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his prophets since the world began. We're going to look at that more closely, and we're going to understand what God's heart is now for the church, and that includes every believer. He excludes no one, only those who will draw back in unbelief or in doubt or in unwillingness. God has so much for us. I invite you to join me tomorrow as we continue on in the restored generation. But in the closing moments, I do invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. I will respond to you by mail. If you should email, if that's convenient for you, that's wonderful. I will confirm receipt and I will pray. But if you would like personal ministry and answer back, I invite you to share your mailing address. I love you and pray for you every day, my UCM partners and my radio family. Never met some of you and may never until we're around the throne of God, but I love you with the love of the Lord. Until next time, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,